Welcome back to a special edition of the Business of Government Hour, a conversation with authors, exploring ideas for improving government effectiveness with Victoria Gordon, author of the IBM Center Report, Participatory Budgeting, 10 Actions to Engage Citizens via Social Media. Victoria, I'd like to explore the case studies highlighted in your IBM Center Report. Would you tell us more about the participatory budgeting effort in the 49th Ward of Chicago? How did the process actually work, and what were the reasons offered in support of adopting it?
The 49th Ward in Chicago is a very unique place. They have about 57,000 people, and I believe over 80 languages are spoken there. And they, to my knowledge, are the first community to use participatory budgeting in the U.S. And it started from a presentation that Alderman Joe Moore had seen at a professional conference that he was at, and so he brought that back home. And he basically said to his constituents, I'm going to commit part of my, I believe it was $1.3 million in discretionary budget for capital improvements, to this process, and would you come and help me decide how this is going to be spent? And so there are definitely parameters on the types of projects that can be funded, and each project is subject to final approval by the city. So there's very much an interaction in terms of working with the community members and city staff to make sure that whatever projects are, you know, actually make it to the final list can actually be funded. So the process itself starts in the fall of each year with neighborhood assemblies being held in different locations, different times, that kind of thing. And they're open to any 49th Ward resident. And projects are proposed, and at these assemblies, community volunteers are asked to come forward and get additional training and then sort of step up to the plate on the next step where projects are then narrowed down and prioritized. And that step happens over several months. So you might have a great idea that you want to see taken forward, but maybe there's some logistical reason that you can't see that done this year. So you would work on trying to understand what those processes are, or maybe you don't have a clear sense of what the cost of something is. And so, you know, again, you're working within parameters, you know, a lot of restrictions and things. But the most promising projects then are presented for review by the citizens in the spring, and then placed on a ballot in either late April or May. And then at that point, anyone age 16 and older that lives in the ward can vote, regardless of their citizenship or voter registration status. And the winning projects are then incorporated into the next year's budget and are implemented over a period of time. So again, some projects are very short-term. Others take, you know, 1 to 3 years to complete. So it's really started here in Chicago as a result of one alderman's vision, and I really applaud his efforts to support it and to bring his citizens into the process.
Victoria, what were the participation rates in the ward, and would you highlight examples of winning projects in the 49th Ward of Chicago? Is there an annual evaluation of the previous year's process?
Sure. So the number of ballots cast have ranged, and they've kind of gone up and down a little bit in Chicago's 49th Ward, but they've ranged between about 1.5% based on that 57,000 residents to about 3% in 2014. So again, not an overwhelming number of people, but the process, I think, is very important, and I think people are still observing to see if they want to get involved and want to participate, and I think it's an interesting process to watch that, too. Examples of winning projects have included very basic infrastructure needs like street resurfacing and street lighting, the kinds of things you would expect to find in that kind of a budget. But it's also included in the 49th Ward things like tree planting, installation of bike lanes, and one of the most pointed to things that came out of my interviews with more than one person there was that how proud the community was of they were able to commission some murals to be painted on viaducts by local artists. And so when people are waiting at their bus or public transportation stop, they've got something nice to look at. And so everybody really points to that with a lot of pride. In terms of evaluation, absolutely each year there is an evaluation, sort of a reflection period where the entire process is reviewed And then if there's administrative or procedural changes or recognition that they did not reach a segment of the population that they were hoping to or whatever the issue is, then they will incorporate changes into the next year's process so that they can hopefully improve that. And so with the 49th Ward, since you've got this five-year plus history now, you can see where some of those, you know, important changes have been made.
Victoria, I'd like to discuss the second case study in your report. What can you tell us about the efforts in the 6th Ward of St. Louis? How did the process work, and what was the timeline for this process?
Well, this is an interesting case in and of itself. The actual participatory budgeting concept was raised during an election between two people running for the ward seat. I believe it was a unfilled or vacant seat, so it was for a short time. The person who lost the race was the one who was running on a PB platform, and basically she was able to convince the winner, Christine Ingracia, that this concept had promise. So the alderman who won allocated a small portion of her allocated capital improvement budget to the participatory budgeting process. So in the fall of 2013, there were a series of brainstorming sessions held to identify project ideas, and this ward focused on organizing the projects into just four categories, safety, streets, I believe beautification, and parks. So this was limited to only $100,000. So we're talking $100,000 versus $1.3 million in Chicago. So 2014 was the first year for beginning participatory budgeting in the 6th Ward of St. Louis. So similar process, though, after the initial list of projects was compiled, then volunteer delegates went to further training about participatory budgeting, and then they began the process of narrowing down the projects and developing project budgets and connecting with appropriate city departments to make sure that projects that were suggested were actually viable. Then the winning projects to that point, sort of the preliminary winners, were presented at a series of project expos in the spring. So citizens then were given an opportunity to come back and look at all of those and to ask questions and make suggestions. And then from that, the final projects were then voted on in April of 2014.
Victoria, what were the participation rates in the ward, and would you highlight examples of winning projects in the 6th Ward?
I do. In fact, they have been very good about keeping very specific demographic information collected on every single meeting that they had and in the vote and everything. They've been very conscious of the data that needs to be collected. So there are about 12,000 residents in this ward in St. Louis, and about 4% voted in this first year, which they felt was just really significant and great. So again, one of the winning projects was street lighting. You know, safety issues, all those kinds of things are important in a major metro area. And one of their other winning projects was the installation of mobile security cameras. And the thought behind that was that if you had mobile security cameras, then you could relocate those as security needs changed in the neighborhood. So they were very forward thinking about use of the money and it's nothing worse than putting up a camera somewhere and then having nobody there. So you need to have that mobility. So they were really forward-thinking.
The third case study outlined in your IBM Center report involves the City of Boston's citywide youth initiative in participatory budgeting. Would you tell us more about this effort? What was the intent of the citywide participatory budgeting initiative? And how does it differ from the processes used in Chicago and in St. Louis?
Yes, 2014 is also the pilot year for Boston, and the difference here is that they focused on one group of citizens, the youth, but on a citywide basis. So rather than ward-wide like in Chicago or St. Louis, they focused on youth, but across the whole city. So in December of 2013, the mayor then charged his existing youth council with forming a new steering committee composed of community-based organizations and organizations interested in youth programs or that provided support for youth. And so he asked them to learn about participatory budgeting and to develop a process. And they as a committee, really truncated the process, and we're ready for a formal vote by June of this year, 2014. And again, they used idea assemblies to consider how they were going to spend $1 million of dedicated funds. What's different also with them is that anyone of any age could participate in the idea assemblies, but the difference in Boston is that only the youth ages 12 to 25 could actually vote. So they've, you know, tweaked it to make it their own, and they're starting with the youth to see how things go, and we'll see what happens for them next year and if they expand.
Victoria, what projects were selected in Boston?
Well, they had about, I believe it was 1,500 youth that voted on 14 projects. And their projects were divided into four categories, the first being streets and safety, the second one was parks, environment, and health. The third category was community and culture, and the fourth was education. And these 1,500 youth then chose seven projects out of those 14. Among their winning projects were, for example, upgrades to picnic areas and playgrounds, purchases of laptops for some high schools, feasibility study for a skateboard park, and also the installation of security cameras at a park. So again, security is a big issue for people in wanting to be able to use the community space that's in their communities.
How can social media platforms inform participatory budgeting? We'll explore this question and so much more when our special edition of the Business of Government Hour, A Conversation with Authors, returns.